It was one Sunday afternoon. It's been about 5 years ago. It was when my office was back where the sound room was. A lady just showed up, came to the front door, and said, could she talk to me for a minute? And we talked for a little bit, and what she had really was just a Bible question. She didn't go to our church. In fact, she told me as we talked that she hadn't gone to any church in town for a long time. But she had grown up in church. Well, it was time to leave, and it was nearing 6 o'clock, which when our service starts. So I said, listen, why don't you stay for church? And she said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. I said, yeah, you come on, you like it. She said, well, I can't stay because, she said, I don't have a dress on. I said, well, that's okay. Our church, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. She said, oh, yes. And then she called, of course, we call this an auditorium. She called it the sanctuary. She says, I can't go into your sanctuary without a dress on. She said that she had been taught in her church growing up that women could only come to church wearing dresses and that they couldn't even come into the building unless they had a dress on. That's legalism. What is legalism? Legalism is a man-made set of rules imposed on someone else. It is when someone imposes rules or commands that are not found in the Word of God and they put them on someone else. This morning we see just one aspect of this false teaching was the legalism. And we touched on this last week, and we'll go through the very first part fairly quickly. Now realize we're in the warning section of the book, of the letter. Paul is writing to the church to instruct them concerning these false teachers and this false teaching that had entered the church. In chapter 2, we're seeing at least three different places where he warns them. Look at it with me. Look at verse 4 again. He says this, chapter 2, verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you, no one may fool you with persuasive argument. He says, don't be fooled by the fast-talking false teachers. We see that that's a possibility of this man in Waco. One of the ladies had said that he was the best teacher she had ever heard in her life. That's one of the reasons she followed him. Then we see in verse 8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophies, empty deception, tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. He says, don't be pulled aside by false teaching, philosophies. The third time is in verse 16. He says, therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or those kind of things. He says, don't let anybody put you under a law system, a legalistic system, a set of rules. This morning, as we continue in our study, really beginning at verse 16 through the end of the chapter, we're going to see three different aspects of the false teaching, how it basically manifested itself in that body. Three things. The first one was, I'll give them to you, we'll come back to them, of course. The first one was legalism. The second one was mysticism, and the third was asceticism. See, legalism is the set of rules. Mysticism was a spiritism as they worshipped angels. And finally, asceticism was a denial of themselves. And we'll talk more about that. I'll give you details on that in just a minute. Even if you didn't get them all written down, don't worry. We'll have plenty of time as we go through the passage. See, remember that some of the problems that were going on is they were teaching, these false teachers and the false teaching, they were saying that Jesus Christ was not God. They were saying that salvation, you come to God through a work system. And then they were saying that the life that you live is a set of rules, a bunch of things you must go by. And Paul shows us how to deal with these three areas. Let's break down the passage. We're going to look at 16 through 23 in chapter 2 and then verses 1 and 2 in chapter 3. But let's break it this way. In 16 through 23, we see the three things. In verses 16 and 17, there's the legalism. In verses 18 and 19, he talks about what we call the mysticism, which was angel worship. And then in verses 20 through 23, there's the asceticism, or the denial aspect. So he talks about rules and angel worship and denial. Denying yourself. And then in chapter 3, the first two verses, we're just going to touch on those. We'll really get those next week. But he talks about remembering our position in Christ, and we'll see that. As we begin, and as we think about these three ways, let's talk about them for a second. Let's think about legalism, mysticism, and asceticism. Let's think first legalism. Legalism is a set of rules where life is lived by a set of rules, do's and don'ts. It's when you impose, basically legalism is when somebody imposes their system, what they think somebody ought to do, which is not according to the Bible, and they impose that on someone else. See, many people think that by obeying some sort of rules, the do's and don'ts, that will bring them to God somehow. And then others think, even though they have already trusted in Jesus, they think that this Christian life is the set of rules and the do's and the don'ts. Sometimes people will just say, just tell me what I'm supposed to do and I will do it. The Christian life is not a set of rules. It is a life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, lived according to the Scripture, as the Scriptures in God's power. Rules do not make somebody holy. The Holy Spirit makes you holy. There was a second thing, mysticism, which was spiritism, really, though, that was in this aspect, it was the worship of angels. But in our society today, it's the whole New Age thing. It's the worship of angels and the earth. And there's the thing called Gaia, G-I-A-I, that's going on now. It's the worship of the earth, that the earth is the living being, and we're just the organisms that are crawling on the earth, and we're messing it up. And we got to worship the earth, and we got to take care of the earth, because the earth is the living being. Now, you may think that that's pretty far off, but if you go in the caravan, right on that little caravan store, there's the little bulletin board, and there is an announcement about that and when they're going to meet. It's here. J.Z. Knight is a lady in Oregon who's a channeler for a 4,000-year-old monk who speaks through her. And people have moved all across the United States to go to be close to this woman, to pay her money so that she can be the channeler for this man who will give them wisdom. It's all over. Shirley MacLaine is out on a limb, and she definitely is. She has looked for God within herself, thinking that somehow, you remember this part where she's on the beach and she screams up and says, "I discovered it, I am God." She's not God, and you're not either. It's only one God. And the creation is not God. It is just part of God's creation. It's not God. There's a third thing that we see is asceticism, which is denial, which is that we're spiritual if we deny ourselves. In church history, there have been people throughout the world who have tried to separate and deny themselves, and somehow they're going to think they'll get to God by denying themselves certain things, putting themselves under some kind of hard thing, crawling on their knees, putting something through their mouth, not eating certain food, doing all those kind of things. We'll talk more about that later. We'll get a good look at these three things as we study Paul's warnings. Let's begin first with the legalism. That's verses 16 and 17. And we saw that just a little bit last week, so we'll go fairly quickly through it. He says this in verse 16. He says, "Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day," which are just a mere shadow of what is to come. "But the substance belongs to Christ." See, realize, as we said a while ago, the Christian life is not a set of rules. First of all, we can't keep the rules. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second is, even if we were keeping rules don't make you holy. The Holy Spirit is what makes us spiritual. God gives us the power to live for Him. I want you to think about it as we get ready to go in the legalism part, what He has already told them so far. If you remember, He's talked about Jesus Christ and who He is. He's talked that Jesus Christ is God and that they are complete in Christ. They don't need anything else. And their identification with Him. And we saw even just a couple of weeks ago how that in Christ, our identification with Him, we have new life. And in Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. And in Christ, we have victory. So there were a lot of great things that we saw. And now, as He moves into this part on this legalism and asceticism and mysticism and all these things, He has to deal with it. And look what He says in verse 16 again. He says, "Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day." He says, don't let anybody impart this law on you, tell you the rules that you must follow. See, they had regulations about what you could eat and what you could drink, and certain days you had to obey. It was legalism. They were imposing their standards, their rules, and especially the ones dealing with eating and drinking and observing. And there were two aspects of it. See, sometimes they say, if you'll do these things, you can get to God. Obey these rules. Or the people who had assumed you're already with God, now you must obey these rules. This is how you live. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, that food does not commend us to God. That's legalism. That's the man-made set of rules. It's when others impose their rules on somebody else. And let me give you an example. I used this one last week, but it's a clear one. I may say to myself, listen, this is going to be my thing. Every time I come to church, I'm going to wear a suit. It's okay. I can say that to myself if I want to. I can say, look, if I want to wear a suit, I'm going to wear a suit. Now, it becomes legalism when I tell all the other guys in here that if you're going to come to church and if you're going to be right, you're going to have to wear a suit. Now, the Bible doesn't say you have to wear a suit. And when I impose that standard on other people, that is legalism. Now, how to deal with it? Verse 17, he says, "Now, these are things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs
to Christ.
See, it's not the real thing. It's just a shadow. The real thing is Christ. As remember that we talked about that a lot of these rules and rituals pointed back a lot to the Old Testament. A lot of the rules and rituals there. And remember that the Old Testament and the law and all that pointed to Christ anyway. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1 says, the law is just a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image. The good things to come are Jesus Christ and His person and His work. The fact that He is the Messiah who died and rose again and pays for sin. The rules are just the shadows. And Christ is the real thing, the substance. So He's the fulfillment of the rules and the laws. You remember what Jesus said? He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. And He fulfilled it in two ways. First of all, He fulfilled it by He's the only person who ever kept it. See, nobody else has ever kept the law. He kept it perfectly. Guess because He's God. Second is, He fulfilled it in the sense that the law says, the soul that sins shall die. And Jesus Christ took our place because we've sinned. He took our place. He died. Fulfilled the penalty of the law. The wages of sin is death. So how do we deal with legalism? He says, listen, we have Christ. He's the real thing. We don't need the shadow when we have the real thing. We're not to live our lives under a set of rules. You're not to try to approach God by obeying a whole bunch of rules and that somehow God will love you. And second is, as a believer, we're not to live the Christian life by a set of rules. It doesn't work that way. No one is saved by rules. We can't keep them. We're saved by Christ. No one grows and is spiritual by rules, but by God's power through us. As Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. So the answer to legalism is Christ, the real thing. Well, next he moves from there in verses 18 and 19. He moves to what we call mysticism, or the angel. For them, at this point in time, it was the worship of these angels, these spirit beings. But today, they could be a lot of different things. See, the teaching was, remember, that Jesus Christ was not God. He was an angel. We'll see how that fits together. Let's see the warning. Verse 18, he says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. He says, let no one, here's his charge here, let no one keep on defrauding you. Keep on defrauding you of your prize. Literally, in the Greek, it is to rob you of your prize. It was to stop you from getting your rewards. And see, what he's saying is, as a believer, just talking to believers, as a believer, if you get off into some other kind of worship and you take your eyes off Jesus, who is the head, then you're going to lose rewards. You're not going to be growing and maturing and doing things. A false view of Christ impedes the growth and the rewards of the believer. So he says, don't let them mess you up. And it's already happening. That's why he literally says, don't let them keep on stopping you from getting your rewards and your prizes. Well, how were they doing it? Well, they were delighting in this self-abasement and the worship of the angels. Self-abasement has the idea of a false humility. A humility in the worship of angels. They go together. See, what the people were saying is, listen, we're just too sinful. We can't approach God, so we have to approach God through angels. We're not good enough to come to God like we are. And so it was a false humility that they couldn't come to God, that they had to come through the angels. You remember the teaching, we talked to it about earlier. We said that they believed that God was perfect and the earth was completely sinful, and that in between God and the earth was this host of beings, these spirit beings, we call them angels, that Jesus was just one of those, and that since God was so perfect and just, He couldn't even touch anything evil, so He didn't make the creation, that these beings, this host of beings in between, were really the creators. And so in order to approach God, you had to come through these type of beings. It was the worship of angels. He says, don't let them defraud you, keep you from getting your prize by delighting themselves in the false humility and the worship of these angels. That's what they were doing. See, the truth is that Jesus Christ is not an angel. He is God. Completely God. And He has come to the earth and died on the cross and paid for sins. He has now gone back to God, seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the one who lives forever to make intercession. He is our advocate and our intercessor. And therefore, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. The only basis we have to approach God is not some angel, but through the Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ. And so He says, look, don't let them fool you. Don't let them defraud you and take away your prize by delighting in this false humility and the worship of an angel. See, He is the mediator for salvation. He is the intercessor for the Christian life. It's Jesus. He says, don't let them stop you by this angel worship. Well, where did they get this? I mean, where did they come up with something like this? Well, look what he goes on to say. He says, let no one defraud you, this is verse 18, of course, of your prize, by delighting in the self-abasement, false humility, and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Now, these false teachers, or whoever it was, maybe even one false teacher had been talking about this, but he said that he took this stand, he made it on the basis of visions he has seen. Now, if you have a New American Standard, like I'm using up here, the word visions is not really there, but literally in the Greek it says, taking his stands or basing it on something he's seen. He thought he saw something. He thought God had given him this revelation. It says, inflated without cause. He's all puffed up thinking, hey, you know, I've got this vision from God and this is what we're supposed to do and these angels are there and we're supposed to do this. And you see it today. There are people who always are getting the word from God, a new direct revelation. And as I said just a couple of weeks ago, usually the direct revelation to you is that you need to send them money. That's usually their direct revelation. And they always put with it that somehow God will bless you. In fact, it's usually a 10-to-1. They'll say, if you'll send us $10, God will send you 100. But I say to them, why don't you send me $10? Let God send you 100. It will work. If it works that way, it'll just be so much faster. We don't have to do that. Let no one defraud you by this vision that he thinks he's seen. It goes on to say, inflated without cause, puffed up for no reason by his fleshly mind. He's imagined this. You know, Paul said in a nice way, he's saying, the guy's lying. They're lying to you. They're telling you that you worship angels, but it's not true. He's made it up. He said he had a vision from God, and he didn't. It's all because he's been puffed up by his mind, and he wants to think something that's not there. He says, don't let these people stop you from growing and going on to maturity. They have made up things. How did this happen? Look what he goes on to say. Verse 19, he says, and they're not holding fast to the head. See, they've gotten away from the only one that can save and keep, and that's Jesus Christ. And how does this kind of stuff happen? It happens when they don't hold fast to the head. The head is Christ. They've gotten away from Christ. And in reality, how do we deal with this mysticism and all this spirit stuff? Paul says in a negative way, we try to say it maybe in a positive. He says, not holding fast to the head, what we've got to do is hold fast to the head. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We've got to remember who He is and what He has done. That we don't need an angel or a new vision or a new type of revelation. We don't need that. All we need is to remain tied to our Savior, Jesus. Not an angel, not some vision, but the Christ. Now look what he says. It's really incredible about Christ in this. He says, and not holding fast to the head. That's what they've not done. That's what we should do. From whom? From the head. From Christ. The entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligament, grows with the growth which is from God. He says the growth and everything comes from God. It's not from a vision and from angels and those things, but it's really from the head, who is Christ. The growth comes from Him. The entire body, which is the body of Christ, and He's the head of the body. Colossians 1:18 says He is also the head of the body, which is the church. That's who He's talking about, the head. Look what He says. He says, and not holding fast to the head, which we should be, from whom the entire body, three things, look what he says. First is being supplied, that's the power. Second is being held together by the joints and the ligaments, that's unity. Third, grows with the growth which is from God, that's the nourishment and the building up and the growth. See, there is power because of our connection with the head. There is the unity because of our connection with the head. There is the nourishment and the growth because of the connection with the head. See, if we want to have power to live, we don't find it from an angel, we don't find it from somebody's vision, we find it from the head, which is Jesus Christ. And if we want to maintain the unity of the body, we realize that the unity of the body has come about because of the head of the body has put it all together. And third, if we want to grow and to continue to mature, it comes about as we are connected with the head. So it's all based on the head. The growth of the body comes when the believers look to Christ. The body is empowered, the body is unified, and the body grows. How do we deal with this spiritism, mysticism? How do we deal with that sort of thing? We continue to remember that it is Christ we go to. He's the one that gives us power. He's the one that maintains the unity. He is the one that gives us the growth. Writer Hebrews said, and run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's how we look. We look at Jesus. So we've seen so far two things. Legalism, which is the rules. And of course the answer is Christ. He's the real thing. And mysticism, this angel worship in this case, spiritism. And the answer, of course, is to look to Christ, who is the head. That's where the growth comes. There's one more, and that's asceticism. That's the denial. That's denying themselves. That's like when you give up things and when you put yourself under all these don'ts, that's going to make you right with God, or it's going to keep you right with God. That's what they were saying. And as we begin verse 20, Paul answers it before he ever gets into it. Look what he says. He says, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you're living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Listen, he says, if you've died with Christ, and you have, why in the world would you put yourself under some kind of system that says don't eat that and don't touch that and don't handle that and don't do this? Put yourself under a denial system. Why would you do that? That's his question. Why would we do it? He starts off in verse 20 and says, if you have died with Christ. Now, we've talked about this a lot of times. When you look at it in English, it looks like it's a hypothetical. Well, if, I don't know. It's conditional. But in the Greek, it's a first-class condition. It literally could be translated since. We could translate it, if, and it's true, you have died with Christ. And you did. When you put your faith in Christ, we've already seen back in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2 that we were buried with Him and we rose again. We died and rose again with Him. We've been identified with Him. So if we die with Christ, we did. He said, if you've died and risen with the Savior and you're a new person, why in the world would you live, as you're living in the world, why would you submit yourself to these decrees? Why would you put yourself under this legalistic system? Why? As if somehow this is going to help you either get to God or stay with God. See, we died and rose again with Christ, and we get to God by faith in Christ, and we maintain this relationship simply. The relationship is forever, but the fellowship is by faith. It's not by denying ourselves and the rules and the systems. Let's look at the system just for a second. It's a don't system. Look at verse 21. Do not handle. Do not taste. Do not touch. See, the word, and most believe that the areas that he's dealing with here were had to do apparently with some type of food or drink. Because the word handle here is the idea of sample. Like, I'll just take a little bit of it. Or the word taste there does have to do with foods. Or the word touch has the idea of staying away from it. He's saying, listen, don't. It's all negative. Don't touch it. Don't sample it. Don't eat it. Don't have anything to do with it. It's all a negative system. And notice what he does in verse 22 at the start. He puts a little paragraph there, a little parenthesis, and look what he says. He says, which all these things refer to things destined to perish with the using. See, he says, if you eat food, it's gone. You drink something, it's gone. He said, these things are not that important. They're going to perish anyway with the using. When you eat it, it's gone. There's nothing to be gained by not eating, he's basically saying. He goes on and says at the end of verse 22 that all of this is in accordance with the commandments and teaching of men. It's like verse 8 when he says, don't let somebody take you captive through philosophy, empty deception, tradition of men, and the elementary principles of the world rather than Christ. He said, don't let them do that. He says, you put yourself under a denial system, which is really a man-made system. He asks, why would you do it? Why is it so easy for some to do that? Have you ever wondered? I mean, what if we came up and I said, started from the pulpit and said, by the way, God has been telling me this week that there are certain things that we as a group of believers are not to do in this community. The list will be typed up. It'll be on the back page, back of the thing there. As you leave, we'll give it to you. And we want you as believers, I want you to live under this because this is the way you're supposed to live. There's a lot of things. If you really want to be holy with God and for we to be the representatives of Christ, there are a bunch of things we're not going to do. That's what they're telling these people. How would you feel about that? You'd say, wait a minute. Where does it say that? I made this mention just 2 weeks ago, but it just comes to my mind even right this second. Remember that church I told you in Missouri that I went to? That you walk in the outside door, which is just like any other church door, but as you walk in to go into the auditorium, there was that little thing across the front of the door that said, everyone in this body has agreed and coveted to do the following. And it said, we will not smoke, we will not drink, we will not dance, we will not. And they had listed about 30 different things that everybody in that church agreed that they would not do. That doesn't make you holy or spiritual. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit makes you holy and spiritual in that sense. Paul says, listen, you die with Christ. Why would you put yourself under these decrees of not touching and not handling and not tasting? They're just going to perish anyway. They're just commandments of men. Why is it so easy for some people to be fooled into this? Well, look, the next verse tells us. He says, these are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but they are no value against fleshly indulgence. He says, really, sometimes it gives the appearance of wisdom. I mean, it looks like it's a wise thing to do to deny yourself these things or to have this rule set and that you're going to live by this. It says, these are matters which to be sure have the appearance of wisdom in a self-made religion. It's really it's the idea of you made it up. It's your religion. It's what you do. And self-abasement, it's the false humility again. And then he says, and the severe treatment of the body. Literally in the Greek, it says the unsparing of the body. It's almost like it's saying, listen, I'm going to put myself under this, and I'm not going to do this, whether it hurts me or not. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll be flipping through looking for something sports, you know, and it'll come by one of those learning channels. And I'm usually looking for sports, not for the learning channel, of course. But they'll have this idea of these false, well, I call them the false religions, and they'll be showing what these people are doing in other parts of the world, and there's these guys, and they're taking these nails, and they're sticking them through their mouths all the way through, and they're showing the holiness of God, and they stick out their tongue, and I saw a guy one night stick nail through this and this, take the tongue and stick it all the way through so it wouldn't go back in, and then through his ears, and this was showing his holiness to God because he could do this, and it wouldn't hurt him very badly. Denial. Deny yourself things. Hurt yourself. It says here, the severe treatment of the body. It really means to not spare your body. This is what they do. We laugh about it. We go, God, ain't that weird? But that's what they do. It's today, but it was then. A legalistic denial system. I want you to notice something that he says at the very end of the verse. He says, all of this, it has an appearance of wisdom, but is of no value against fleshly indulgences. Do you realize that all the don't stop you, and it doesn't stop the desires to do it? Let me give you some things to think about on this denial. First of all, there is no relationship between a denial system and holiness. Because you don't do certain things, it does not make you holy. Second is usually when a person puts themselves under some type of denial system, it usually brings pride, not humility. Because you say, look at all that I've given up. Look at all that I'm doing. Look what I'm not doing. That's pride, not humility. I'm probably the most humble person around, is what they're thinking. Because of what they're not doing. And then the third thing, it doesn't curb the desires. Putting yourself under a don't system does not stop you from desiring to do those things. In fact, what we found in Romans when we did our study is that whenever you put yourself under a law system and a don't system, it actually causes you to want to do it even more. It's the idea of when somebody says, don't look through that hole, you're going to say, I'm going to look through the hole. I mean, when I was in seminary, if you just said, JB, would you like to study the book of Romans? I'd say, oh, yeah, Romans. But you go to a class and they say, I want you to write a 10-page paper on Romans. I go, I don't want to do that. Because when you tell me I've got to do something or I can't do something, I want to do just the opposite. That's the flesh. And anytime you put yourself under a denial system, it is not going to stop you from wanting to do those things. In fact, it's going to heighten it. You've heard me tell this story before. I told it when we did the book of Romans. But they built a Holiday Inn in Mississippi on the Gulf Coast. And it was about six or seven stories. And after it was built, after about 4, 5, 6 months, everything had been fine. But somebody got the idea. They said, you know, I worried about something. What? What if somebody starts trying to fish off of these balcony things, and as they throw their things out, it may come back and break one of the windows out? Nobody had ever done that, of course. Nobody had ever fished off of it. But they thought, what if somebody did? You know, we better put some signs up. No fishing off balcony. As soon as they put them up, what did the people do? Everybody started fishing off of the balcony. Because they said, well, I'm going to fish off the balcony. There must be something good about fishing off the balcony. See, whenever you put yourself under a denial system, that's not the answer. It will not curb it. The truth is, denial systems don't work. They don't get anybody to God. They don't make anybody holy. In fact, it doesn't even stop the desires. What does Paul say? He says, listen, you died with Christ. You're identified with Christ. You died and rose again, and since this is true, why would you put yourself under a denial system? The Galatians did the same thing. Paul went to the churches in the province of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. He led those people to Christ. He told them that salvation was just by faith. He told them the Christian life was a walk of faith. And he left, and some people came in and gave a legalistic system to him, put him under a law system. Paul found out about it. He says, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from the one who called you into to another gospel, which is not another. He says, having begun in the Spirit, having begun by God in the Spirit, are you made perfect in the flesh by keeping some kind of law system? Answer is no. The lady that came to my office was under a law system. She had been taught that she couldn't even come into a church if she didn't have a dress on. A legalistic law system. A denial system, a set of rules. Paul warns us in this section. First of all, he says, don't get caught up in legalism. The rules are just a shadow. Christ is the real thing. He says, don't get caught up into the false humility of this angel worship. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. And that He is the head, and He is the one that brings the power and the unity and the growth. And finally, he says, don't put yourself under some kind of denial system. It doesn't work. And you died with Christ to a new life. You don't have to live under some system like that. Christ is the answer for the false teaching. I want to close just by looking, just quickly, if you would, just turn to chapter 3, just verses 1 and 2. We're going to see a lot more of this, of course, next week. But I want you to see that Paul summarizes all of what he's been teaching into an action, beginning in chapter 3, the application part of the letter. And it basically is, remember your position in Christ. You died and rose again. Look what he says, chapter 3, verse 1. He says, if, literally, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. He says, listen, you died with Christ. You rose again. You're a new person. You're seated with Christ. Think as one who is identified with Christ, not one who is identified with the world. We must realize our position. And we don't have to get hung up into legalism. We don't have to get caught up into the spiritism. We don't have to get caught up into all this denial things. Not to either get to God or to live for God. Christ is the answer. He's the real thing. He's the head. And He's the one who gives new life. So we've seen the warnings. Paul warns about the false teachers. He says there are three things. Legalism, which is the rules. Mysticism, which was the angel worship. And asceticism, which was the denial. And he says, listen, the answer to all this is Christ. He's the real thing. He's the head. We died with Him and rose again. And the key is remember our position in Christ, death and resurrection. Let me give you two applications before we close. First one is very simple, and it just ties right in, of course, and that is keep your eyes on Christ. He's all that we need. He's the real thing. In Hebrews chapter 12, as already we've said it, he says, let's run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus. He's the real thing. He's the head. See, we don't need a set of rules because we have Christ. The rules were just the shadow. Christ is the substance. We live in His power. Rules never make us holy. Jesus Christ and His power through us make us holy and spiritual in that sense. We don't need the spiritism. We don't need this direct revelation, new revelation for people in these visions and these spirit things and looking on the inside and worshiping something else. We don't need any of that. We need to be connected to Christ. He's the head. Through Him is the power to live. Through Him is the unity of the body. Through Him is the growth. That's what Paul says. And finally, we don't need a denial system to somehow be holy and right with God. Because we died and rose with Christ. We died to those old things and we've risen to a new life. We're identified with Him. So he's the real thing, he's the head, and he's the one that gives us new life. Let's keep looking unto Christ as we live. There's a second thing, and this is an important one, and that's watch out for the false teaching. Be careful, because it looks good. It actually gives an appearance of wisdom, but it's really wrong. Legalism, mysticism, asceticism cannot save anybody, and those three things also cannot make anybody holy. The only way to God is by faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, and you put your trust in Him and Him alone. That's the way to God. The way to live and the way to walk is a walk by faith, living in God's power through you. It is not a set of rules. It is not a denial. It is not some kind of spiritual, mystical thing in that sense. There may be some of you this morning who have thought in the past that the way that you're going to get to God is that you're just going to do what's right. You're going to give me the rules. Tell me what I'm supposed to do, and I'll do it. In fact, I'll even deny myself certain things. I'll just won't do those things so I can get to God somehow. You can't come to God that way. You can't keep the rules. You're not good enough. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is so great is Jesus Christ has already died for you and already paid for your sins. And the Word of God says, if you will believe, if you will put your faith in Him, if you will believe that He died for you and rose again, you'll have eternal life. And my prayer is that if there's even one this morning who has never understood that, that today they will trust in Christ right where you're sitting right now. You don't have to walk down an aisle. You don't have to do anything. You have to simply put your faith in Jesus. There may be some of you who have thought that after you trust Christ, that the Christian life is a set of rules. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do, God, and I will do them. And the truth, there are some commands. There are many commands in the Word of God. But the Christian life is not taking these set of rules and just saying, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. It is living your life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Living according to the Scripture in God's power. Not you in a set of rules. Not you in a denial system. And so my prayer is for those of us who know Christ that we'll realize Christian life is not a rule system. It is a life lived in the power of the Spirit. Watch out for the false teaching. The legalism never makes you holy. It's fulfilled in Christ. The mysticism, you only need Christ, you don't need anything else. The asceticism, the denial, will not work, never makes you holy. In fact, it actually goes the opposite way, makes you want to do wrong more. Christ is the answer. Beware of those who might lead you astray. This morning, beware of the false teaching. Let's live our lives keeping our eyes on Christ. He's the real thing. He's the head. And He's the one that we died and rose with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, we just thank You that as believers we're to keep our eyes on Christ, that He is all we need. Lord, I am so thankful that He is the head. We're thankful, Lord, that He is the real thing. We're thankful, Lord, that we died and rose again with Him. Lord, may we not forget it. May we live this life looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, let us be aware of the false teaching. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who has somehow thought that the rules, the denial, those kind of things would get them to God, that they'll realize that it won't, and that they will put their faith in Christ as their Savior even right now. Lord, for each of us, may we realize Christian life is not rules. It's Your power through us as we obey the Scripture and as we live to glorify Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be aware of where there is legalism, where there is the spiritism, mysticism, where there is even the asceticism, the denial. And help us to understand it and be able to deal with it. And help us to clearly tell others about Jesus Christ. And help us to build up one another so that we can continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.